So is it all right if I record you?
That's fine with me.
Okay. Do you mind?
I just did this with MTSU students the other day doing their theses.
Oh, really? Okay. So, yeah, maybe it'll be boring. I'm boring for you, not for me. Do you want to start off just saying your name?
My name is Margaret Peoples Davis.
Okay. So thank you so much for agreeing to participate in this project. It will surely benefit the community now and in the future. The goal of this questionnaire is to produce as detailed and coherent a narrative of your story as possible. In light of that, I encourage you to feel free to not worry about providing an answer that is too long or too in-depth. Okay. So, in what year were you born?
1938.
Okay. And where were you born?
In Norfolk County.
Okay. And how do you define yourself in terms of race or ethnic identity?
African-American.
What's the last level of schooling that you completed?
2 years at TSU.
Okay. And are you married or have you ever been married?
I am married.
Okay. How long have you been married for?
July 21st, be 50 years.
Oh, congrats. What's your husband's name?
Billy.
Billy, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll start off talking about your childhood. So tell me about, what your childhood was, just overall sort of like what your neighborhood was like growing up. Was it more like city or suburban or country?
Well, I lived in the city, and we had to walk to school, and we passed by 3 schools to get to school. But it was just a group, and we walked. Now, the first year I went to school, my mom paid this man to take me because I wasn't big enough to go by myself across town. Mm-hmm. But then we began to walk in groups.
Okay.
And I lived on Front Street from the time I was 4 until I was sophomore in high school. And then we moved when they started tearing down the houses and rebuilding the bottom in different places. And so we moved.
Where did you move to?
And we moved to what they call 6th Ward. And now it's part of 1st Avenue and Billboro.
Okay.
It's right off of Billboro, but it's not any houses up there now.
Okay. And mm-hmm. Where did you live before you were 4?
We lived on the corner of Spring and State.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How many siblings?
I had 6 brothers and 1 sister.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Were you all close?
Mm-hmm. And I still have 4 brothers that's living now, and we be together.
Yeah? Do they live in Murfreesboro?
Everybody lives in Murfreesboro except one, and he lives in Atlanta.
Okay. How close were your neighbors, growing up? What was the neighborhood like? Can you describe
the houses were close and not close. It was a space. You could get a car in between the houses.
Mm-hmm.
But when we first moved over there, it was during the time when water wasn't in the house, electricity wasn't in the house. And we had a phone, but the phone was a 4 party line. And we used to have to go, I'll say, maybe a block from here to get water, to take a bath, to wash, to cook, to do all that. And then when we got the water, the first water we had was a hydrant on the outside. And I think I was in the, say, 3rd or 4th grade when we got a bathroom and electricity because we used to have oil lamps.
Okay.
And, but we always, my mom and dad were divorced. She remarried and he remarried. So my stepfather was always there. And in the summers I spent in Nashville with my father and my stepmother. And we were just a little happy family.
Mm-hmm.
And she always said that by us being sisters and brothers, we should always be together. Mm-hmm. And if anything ever happened to her before the small ones were grown and big enough to take care of themselves, for the older ones to make sure they seen after those kids.
Mm-hmm.
But so happened she lived to see all of them get grown, and she, so it was just a blessing that we just all, and we still stay together.
Yeah, close to that. Did you have other family in the area, like cousins or aunts or uncles?
Well, on my dad's side, I have 1 aunt, and tomorrow the 30th, isn't it? Yeah, tomorrow the 30th, she'll be 103.
Oh, wow.
And on my mom's side, it's just distant cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Because her sister, after she passed, and her sister passed, and her mom. So it wasn't anybody that's real close on her side.
And how
old? Cousins.
Yeah, yeah. And how old were your parents when they got divorced?
I was 6.
I'm sorry, how old were you? Yeah.
I was 6 when they got divorced.
Okay. And where are you And it's in the ages of your siblings. Are you like middle or oldest?
At the top. Okay. I'm next to my brother. I had one brother that was 7 years older than I.
Okay. Cool. So when you were growing up, did you have like dreams of like what you wanted to be when you grew up or future?
Well, always at first I wanted to play basketball, run track. And I really didn't know. And then when I started school, I wanted to be in education. Mm-hmm. But when I first got out of school and when I dropped out of state, or Tennessee State, mm-hmm. I got married the first time. And my mom and dad said that I was making a mistake. But anyway, it didn't work out. But I tried to stay with him for the simple reason I didn't want them to say I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't work out. So then I went to I went back to school. And but I worked at this place in Nashville, this factory where they made grass bag, feed bag, dipping bags
mm-hmm.
during the day. What they call it, Worthing bag. And I worked over there. And then after that, But I would come home on weekends to see my mom. And after my stepfather died, I would come home. And then my baby brother, she gave me him as a dependent. I had him, and I would come home to see about him and for school. And then after he passed when he was in fourth grade, and at the time the doctors here wasn't worth a quarter, and they had gave him spinal meningitis, different stuff that was wrong with him. And this lady told me to take him to Vanderbilt, and Dr. Griffin, I'll never forget him. And it took him 30 minutes to find out he had a tumor on his brain.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Took him 30 minutes, but it had got a root.
Yeah.
And he said surgery wouldn't do any good. And he died the 17th of December.
Wow.
And and after that, I stayed in Nashville till I started dating Bill, and I came home, and then I came back home in 62. And I've been here ever since.
Yeah.
And then I got in the school system in 83, because I worked at Bellwood, and then when they built Northfield, I went to Northfield in 86, and I stayed there till 2003, and I retired.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a lot of follow-up questions, but I'm going to try and, okay, so when you were growing up, what was your, did your family have things that they wanted you to do, like goals for you or things?
No, mother and dad both always said, it's whatever you want to do. Let it be something that you want to do, uh-huh. not what we want you to do. But make sure that you're happy with it and content with it. And she always told us that no matter how much education you got, don't ever be, she said, if you don't have common sense to go with it,
uh-huh.
the education mean nothing.
Right.
So she said, always remember, and she used to always tell us, she said, now remember, I don't care what you grow up to get, always remember where you came from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. she always instilled that in us, and she said, I don't care what you do. She said, I don't care how many kids you have or whatever you do, just make sure that you tell them that, you know, to always be prepared to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've always looked forward to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I've been pretty good, pretty happy. I just happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. Happy-go-lucky. Man. So did your father remarry, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my stepmother died on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
I was talking to her on the phone the night that she passed. And,
wow.
But she, I guess I was blessed in my older brother because he went in service when he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
But between my stepmother, she didn't have any kids.
Okay.
And my stepfather, after, you know, my siblings under me were born, I wasn't left out, you know it. At home, because
mm-hmm.
I always stayed with them and went to school here because mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to Nashville.
Right.
And I promised Dad when I was a junior, I think, that I was going to move to Nashville and go to Pearl to time to go to school, and then I decided I didn't want to go. But it was just a good relationship between the two.
Yeah.
And I just never did have any problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did your parents get along?
Mm-hmm.
Even after the divorce?
Yeah, he would come and get me. When school was out, Christmas, you know, holidays, mm-hmm. and she would always come, and they always got along.
That's great.
And it was because when they, just like she said, it was because they couldn't get along, it wasn't any sense in, you know, having a problem with the kids. So
yeah.
It just never was a problem. And after my stepfather died, we were just she was there, and she would go to work and come back, and she'd tell us what we needed to do. Mm-hmm. But during that time, the neighbors could tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And tell on you.
Yeah.
And then you'd be in trouble. But now, see, it's not like that anymore. And it's just something, it's just a weird thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What, why do you think it's changed?
Because the parents don't make the kids mind. They don't, I mean, they, nowadays they have that, the kids understand that if they get a whipping, you know, they can call the police on you.
Mm-hmm.
And they take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know in the school system, they, the parents would have letters in their files that you couldn't touch them.
Right.
And they would have to come. And my husband has a niece that when I was at Northfield, she had a, in their file that they, nobody would touch them. So she lost her job. Because the oldest little boy had, have you met Dr. Smith?
Yeah.
His wife.
Okay.
Teaching kindergarten. And she was carrying him to the office, and he pulled her down. So there wasn't nothing they could do with him. So they called her, and she came and got him. And then his sister, what grade was she? Whatever she was. Anyway, within 30 minutes, she went to the office. So she had to come and get her, and she lost her job because she hadn't been. She had just left, you know, to go get one.
Yeah.
So she, it was just something different.
Wow.
And but the kids knew that you couldn't touch them. If they had don't file, they let you know that, you know, you can't do anything with me because I called my mom.
Right.
So they would call the mom. Miss Norris called the mom, and so she came after them. When she came after them, that was it.
Yeah. Wow.
But now the kids understand that, and you know the little boy, little McHenry boy.
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, the night that Shannon and myself did the interview,
mm-hmm.
and he was sitting here, and I told him about,
Oh, yeah, that boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. So his grandmother said, Marty, he came home and told me that he saw you. I said, yeah. She said, he'll always remember what you did. I said, and she said he'd think about that now, but what I was looking at, I knew, see, I grew up with his family.
Yeah.
And I knew the position that his mom and dad was in. And I knew his grandmother was trying to help him.
Yeah.
He and his sister. And it wasn't any reason for him to act like he was acting. So I didn't go to his grandmother. I went to talk to his grandmother, but she wasn't there. And her mother was there, so I talked to her mother.
Uh-huh.
And we got him straightened out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he seems
like a good
kid. And
it was just
altogether
different. Like I told him, life is too short. And mm-hmm. I said, where you sit in class and act like you act as you get older and you realize what you, the mistakes you've made,
mm-hmm.
I said, but you can't undo some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And now he said, told me the other day that he was graduating. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to college, too. He's going to college.
That's what she told me.
Yeah.
She said he wants to go, and he said he learned a lot from the mistakes that he made, and I'm so proud. You know, that makes a difference because if you see the change in the kids, that the way they were, it wasn't a way that he wanted mm-hmm. to be, but it was a way that his mom and dad was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything he could do about it, and they were just dragging him from place to place. And I told Kay, I said, Kay, you need to try to take those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when she finally got them and got them straightened out,
yeah.
it was altogether different. And then I had another girlfriend that she worked at this now. And her mom and dad was on drugs and failed.
Mm-hmm.
And I told, we talked to the teacher, and her teacher was going to get, give the mom a job for ESP in the afternoon. And she came over there, she was pulled to the brim. And so she got over to the granny, and her granny, they went to court, and the grandmother got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got out of rehab, years later, she took her back. And then, you know, at first she wasn't going to school, then she went to school, then she got pregnant, then it was just a mess.
Yeah.
And finally, she came up here to see her granny one day, and I told her, I said, Tanisha, you need to take the baby and do the best you can with, get your job, but go back to school.
Yeah.
And she did. And it makes a difference, and especially she was gifted,
yeah,
an A student, and I told her, I said, you need to stop. I said, so she, and she said, her mom, I saw her not too long ago, she said, she said, Miss Davis, she said, you know, my mom is back on drugs again. I said, well, don't leave your child with your mom. She said, I'm not. She would tell me then that she had changed jobs and she was working at this, secretary in some department.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
When you were growing up, what kind of like stuff did you do as a child or as a teenager?
Well,
what kind of games?
As a child, we played softball in the street. We played old maids, cards, bingo, checkers. And we just visited from house to house and played with each other. And on Front Street where we stayed, it was kind of a family block. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The two blocks that was there from Lytle Street to the corner where you go off into Westbrook Towers now, but it was just like a family. Mm-hmm. And we all went to school together. We walked to school together. We played together. And it was just, and right now, those that are still living, we still, talk and write. Yeah. And those that are not here, and with the red and black being the weekend, I guess it's been, 5 years since I seen one girl that I was raised up with right straight across the street. And she was here for the weekend, and we just had a blast. It's just been a good...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was just stuff that we did. We just played right there together because the neighborhood was the type of people that if you got out of place, they were going to tell your parents. And you couldn't say anything back to them. If you did, you were punished when you got home because they were considered as grown people. But see, now you can't do that.
Right.
But they could get you. Mm-hmm. And we could play in the street. If they said get out the street, that means get out the street.
Yeah.
And unless you want to get in trouble. But I always enjoyed it because my first job, I was 13. The little girl, mother worked at Cecil Elrod's. And she asked me if I would watch her in the afternoon and do homework. So we used to do homework together. Mm-hmm. And I would keep it till mom got off from work, and I was 13. Then after that, I started running track when I was in eighth grade. And I had practice in the evening, basketball practice. Then after I got in high school, it was the same thing. So I didn't really do that much working. But then this man had this restaurant that my mom worked for. And he told Mother to ask me if I would, he had a daughter the same age I was. Mm-hmm. And I went to work with her in the afternoon.
Doing what?
Oh, both been washing dishes. Uh-huh. But he would give us time to do homework.
Uh-huh.
Before dinner time.
Right, right.
And mother would, do whatever I had to do until time after I got my homework done. And because she told him, she said, now, if her grades go down, she said, I mean that. So he would give us time to do homework because his daughter was a waitress, so she had to go on the front. So it was fun, and I enjoyed it, and always liked that. And then I always want to, I guess the reason I didn't have any, I always said I wasn't going to have any kids unless then I could stay at home with them. Mm-hmm. But as mother say, I always had somebody as a child. Mm-hmm. But it was just, we raised... Say 1, 2, 3 of his niece. He had 2 nephews and 1 niece. And I had 2 nieces and 1 nephew. And I told Bill, I said, when we get old and can't help ourselves, I said, we won't have one of them out of 6 that'll come and give us a drink of water. He said, don't say that. I said, well, we won't.
Really?
I don't think so, because, kids are not like they used to be.
Where
they go on about their business and that's it. Mm-hmm. You did it for me, so I'm gone.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know, but now I got two nieces that's still here that calls me and see if I'm okay, and I hadn't forgot so-and-so. They never forget my birthday, Christmas, or nothing like that, but I told Bill, I said, but we're not down either. But you don't never know. I said, maybe they won't, but it's, and then I have one brother that calls me every morning at 9 o'clock to see if I'm okay. And then he'll say, well, okay, I'll talk to you later. Okay. And Bill said, Martin, he said, he got one sister. He said, I have never seen nobody that you all, those boys, he said, they don't ever forget to call you. Mm-hmm. But it's just something that mother always instilled in us that we needed to stay together. Mm-hmm. And she said, if anything ever happened to me, just don't forget about each other and don't throw each other away. And so we've always tried to stay in touch.
Yeah, that's so important.
Mm-hmm. We've always been like that. Because I tell Josephine and Mary all the time, the children, you know, they're real, you know, it was a lot of them too. So it's just a close-knit thing that we just grew up. You had to look out for the younger ones. And if you were older, because people tell me now, because I still iron my blue jeans and things. And they said, I said, but when we were coming up, see, I had to iron the boys' blue jeans. And then she taught them how to iron their own. And she tell them all that one day they might have to do for themselves. Mm-hmm. And every last one of them can cook, clean, do anything they want to do. Because she said, it might come a day that you might have to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. So we've just been always, you know, just fend for yourself and try to stay together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever want to have children?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really, because I felt like at the time when I could have them, I was always going and doing stuff. And then I used to be in Nashville at the Bethel Center. Mm-hmm. During the summer, I used to work up there with the kids. I don't know, I've always loved being around kids for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to Bethlehem Center during the summer when I would be with Dad when I was a teenager, and go up to Bethlehem Center and work up there and do stuff. And then when I don't know how long, Bill, we had been married. Been a pretty good while. And I had these tumors. And at first I told him, I said, well, if I go to sleep, I'll never wake up. And so he said, well, one day you're going to have to get them taken out. So then after I had that partial hysterectomy, I told him, well, it's all over now. And that was in 75. And I said, I'm just not going to worry about it. And that's what we already had, niece and nephew living in our. So I told Bill, I said, that's enough. I said, we won't even worry about it. I said, Lord knows best, so we just won't worry about it. So we just never did have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, and I said, my health meant more to me than the kids. So I said, but he told me if I had one, then they would take them out there. I thought, I better go ahead on and get them out now.
Yeah.
And so I did. So it's just been a blessing. The same BMC I had, Bill got hurt on the fire truck that June, and I had surgery on August the 13th in 75. And so we both was at home.
You said he got hurt?
At the same time.
You got hurt in a fire truck? What happened?
The man had gone fishing. Uh-huh. And he come out of Tennessee Boulevard right there by MTSU, where Dr. Walker's off house is.
Uh-huh.
And he come across the cone and he hit the fire truck and they went over in the trees in front of that house. And he chipped a bone in his ankle and broke his hip. And so he was at home on crutches for a while, and then I had the surgery. Then by the time I got ready to go back to work, he was going back to work. But we was at home, the blind were leading the blind.
So how did you, this is kind of out of order, whatever. So how did you meet, so you said you were married before. How long was that? How long?
3 years. I was married the first time for 3 years.
And how did you meet him?
I came home one morning when I would come home, and I would always, it's a girlfriend, and I would always go see her, and we would always go out to, it was a place called Weeping Willow and Eldorado, and we go there now. And we used to, on Saturdays, they used to sit down there at Weeping Willow and play cards. Mm-hmm. In the daytime, we go down there and play cards, drink beer, and just sit around. And she and her husband was going, they had just married, and they were going fishing this Sunday. And I told her, I said, well, I'm afraid of baits, so I'm not going with you all. I said, I'll go and read a book. And she said, well, somebody wants to see you. I said, no, I'm not going out there. We're not going to court. I said, y'all going fishing, I'm going to read a book and either sit in the car. And so I went, and we started talking then, and then he started coming to Nashville, because I was in Nashville, so he started coming to Nashville. And it took me 3 years to say I do. I will, because every time we started in January of 1 year, and it took me to July of the next year, because we were going to get married for New Year's, and his grandfather got sick and passed. And he promised his daddy he'd see after his grandmother. Then we were going to get married Valentine, and I had another excuse. And then we were going to get married on my birthday, and then we were going to get married in June on his birthday. And we finally made it that in July.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hear him tell it now, you'll crack up. He said, Marty was so glad to get married. We got married on Saturday. He carried me back to Nashville to work on Monday morning. I stayed in there for 3 weeks before I moved home, because we were going on Worthenbag was going on vacation.
Yeah.
And I stayed there until time going on vacation before I moved. But it just, I don't know, I didn't want to go through the same thing that I went through at first. So it just took me, I said, I don't want to fight, I don't want to fuss. And I'll tell anybody, we've had our ups and downs.
Yeah.
But it hadn't been any lick passing, and it hadn't been, we made an agreement when we first married. You go where you want to go within reason, and I'll go. But you know the way back home, and you know what to do and how to do, you know.
Yeah.
And he can say, I'll be back in a little while. It doesn't bother me.
Right.
And I can get up and go, and I said, Bill, I'm going so-and-so. Sometimes I might say, see you. But it's not the matter of, you know, just going nowhere, out nowhere. And now, if he decide he want to go out and I don't want to go, that's just one of them things. I'll say, here lately, I don't got, so I'm not too fond of, because I like to stay at home and read a book, and I love farming words in a book and different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he might, now when he was exalted ruler, I took else. Now, he was gone a lot, but it didn't bother me. He called back to see if I was okay. I said, I'm fine. I just don't want to come out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just one of them things. So we have never had it where you going, when you coming back, and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can talk to who you want to, because you know how far to go, and I know how far to go. And we've always had that, and we've made it so far.
Yeah, it's like trust.
And so I because I teased Leslie about that. I said, you got to get your hug.
Yeah. And,
but it's just one of those things, until you really and truly get ready. But I said, it took me a while to say I do again, but it has been worth it, and it's nothing. We discussed stuff that we're going to do. Because like this morning when I broke my partial the other week, and this morning I said, Bill, I got to get another impression because they broke that one. And he said, not again. I said, well, I guess I do be without teeth again. So she took another impression this morning, and I told her, I said, if I don't get some teeth in my mouth, I said, I'm going to lose my mind. I said, I don't have to eat. I said, I guess I got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told her, I said, but you got to hurry and give me some teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been good. It's been a blessing, and mm-hmm. I've enjoyed it. And just like now, when I go back home and it's cloudy, I won't be back out any more day.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
How'd you meet Bill?
On this little fishing thing.
Oh, so okay.
But see, I knew his mother before she passed, but I didn't really know him because his mother used to do my mom's hair. She used to be a beautician.
Okay.
But I knew Miss Lillian, but I didn't know him.
Okay.
When I was growing up. But then after I knew him, and then I found out who he was, and his uncles and aunt, after his mother died, his great-grandmother raised him. And she thought, when I first started talking to him, Miss Mary told me that. She said, don't you ever hit him. And I said, Miss Mary, if he hit me, I'm going to hit him back. If he don't ever hit me, I won't hit him. She said, well, now, she's about this high. She said, you heard what I said, didn't you? I said, she said, his mother and father, I took him and I raised him. I said, yes, ma'am, I can understand that. I said, but if he hit me, I'm going to hit him back. And he left and went to California. And she got sick. And she sent for him. She wanted to talk to him. And you know, she lived until he got home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she told him what she wanted him to know, and she died that night.
Mm-hmm.
But I had started talking to him, and I told Bill, I said, but you knew I wouldn't come to California, because I told you I would never go that far and leave my mama.
Yeah.
Because I might not have no money to get back home.
Yeah.
So I said, nope. And he laughed about that. And he said, man, I never thought you would just stay here. I said, I wasn't going off and leave my mama. I said, that's out. I said, no. I said, because people leave home, and then they got to send for them, and you ain't got no money. I said, you never get nowhere. I don't have no money to come back and see about my mama. I said, nope, won't go. So we just, then after Miss Mary died, he never did go back. He stayed at home.
Mm-hmm.
So then after that, we finally got married. But I tell you what, we had some ups and some downs, but it hadn't been what you say, where we going to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a blessing.
Yeah.
Now, when I get mad at him, I just don't talk. And that's the one thing my mom told us, she told me. She said, when you fuss, one person can't fuss by themselves. She said, so if you fussing and he fussing, that causes confusion. She said, but if you start, she said, just keep your mouth closed. And Bill will tell you now, he can make me mad, and I won't talk. And if I cook, and I tell him, I said, well, if I was mad at you, I wouldn't eat nothing you cook. He said, well, I'm not worried about your problems. He said, but you're not going to starve me just because you're mad, but I just don't say anything.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll say, one day he might say, you ready to talk to me now? And I said yes or no, and that's just it. I just don't say nothing, and there won't be no argument. And she said two people have to argue. She said one person can't argue by themselves. She said, so it's best that you sit down and work things out instead of sitting up. Mm-hmm. And she said, that's what caused fight. And she and my stepfather, as far as I know, I never saw them, you know what you say, argue. But they would always sit down and talk about things. She said, it's just best, she said, because the Lord put you here for a reason. The only thing I always said that when we were small, we had to go to church every Sunday, mm-hmm. and the Sunday school. And I always said, if I ever get grown, I will not go to Sunday school again. But I told her to tell her, because I go now. But she just, it just, we just something we had to do.
Yeah. No,
and she would get us ready on Saturday night. She started getting clothes together. Sunday morning, you had to get up and go to Sunday school. But she went with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had to go. We had to go and stay for church. We'd be crying, but she said, well, one day you'll understand. And so I got one brother that don't go. He don't go regular. He still goes to church, but he don't go regular.
Uh-huh.
And I tell him all the time, I said, your mom's going to come back and get you because you don't have to go to church. He said, she's not here. And that's just it, but she just didn't. We had to get up and go on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What church you go to?
I go, well, now.
Well, then and then
it
now.
Was, but at the time, she came from Barfield, the Barfield community.
Okay.
And that's where we had to go, and her uncles had the school bus. They would come by on Sunday morning and get us
mm-hmm.
at 8 o'clock, and we'd have to go to Sunday school and stay for church. And then now I go to Cherry Grove, which is out, because that's where his family was
okay.
when we married. And I start going out there. So, but I joined First Baptist when I think I was 13 and started going in town until I moved to Nashville. And then I went to St. James, where George Brooks is on 28th and Delaware.
Okay.
I went there for years when I was married the first time. That's where we went to church when I was in there. Because that's where my dad and stepmother went.
Okay. And so is that Baptist too, or is that?
That's all Baptist. All Baptist.
All Baptist. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. So when you were in high school, what kind of social stuff did you do with your friends?
I had a glee club, basketball. I didn't have time for nothing but, as mother says, sports. I always mm-hmm. wanted to do something, and at one time I took his part in the play, and I didn't like that. I said, I don't think I like no drama. I don't want to do that. But I always liked to be doing something that was active, mm-hmm. and Ms. Curzer had the glee club, and we had the glee club, and then after practice, I had track practice, basketball practice, and stuff like that. It was just something where I could stay active.
Mm-hmm. Who are your, what about dances, and what about, who? Yeah.
Oh, I used to love to dance.
Yeah, okay.
But see, my knees won't let me do it now.
Okay.
But I used to love to dance, and we used to have what you call the Kool-Aid Club, mm-hmm. and we were talking about that the other day. The Kool-Aid Club, it was just a bunch of teenage kids, and we would go from house to house and drink our little Kool-Aid and dance and play games. And the parents would fix sandwiches and Kool-Aid
mm-hmm.
and pop popcorn. And I was telling one of the girls, Luella, that was in the program,
mm-hmm. yep.
and Miss Frances, she could pop some popcorn. You could smell it for miles, and you know how you used to have to mm-hmm. shake it
yep.
on the stove. And she'd pop that popcorn, and it'd be girls and boys, and we would dance. And we'd just go from house to house. And on Saturday, we call it the Kool-Aid Club, and we'd just go from house to house. And people say now, Luella and myself, when we start first grade together, mm-hmm. and Shannon is the only person from grade one through TSU mm-hmm. that we were always together.
Yeah.
And now he belongs out there to church too.
Yeah.
So he always say, he said, Mari, we're still together. And we've been like that. We played together. We went to school together. And even after we got grown and after I came back home, and when Bill and myself married, and then he married Earlene, and it was just seemed like we were always doing things together because mm-hmm. at the time he belonged to the Elks until he had that last heart attack.
Mm.
And it was just something like just a family thing.
Yeah.
But I've always enjoyed, as Bill said, life as a whole. He said he has never seen nobody that liked to go and say you don't feel good, but you're still going. And he said, Marty, I've just never seen nobody never want to stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to that 5 months took me away from my house. My house looked like a dump. And I told Bill, I said, I promise you next week. He said, I'm not worried about it. He said, I don't have to go in that room. And, but I just told stuff in there on the bed, on the cedar chest, just stuff. And I told Bill, I said, the dresser's even jumping. This morning, I looked at it and I told Bill, I said, you know what? The weekend, I said, beginning Thursday. I said, I don't have anything planned for Thursday and Friday. I said, but I will be in this room Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But I'm going tonight to hear this lady over at New Vision Church. Nikki's. Cabilla or whatever her name is. And that's going to take away from me doing it.
Giovanni.
And so I said, I go over there tonight. And then, for one thing, MTSU was in with Bradley Museum with that program and the theses that the kids are doing about the bottom and different stuff. So we, after that, I told Bill, I said, and then tomorrow when I come from Bible study, I'll be free the rest of the weekend. And I promise you that I'm going to clean that room. He said, all that stuff in there is yours. He said, but it's not mine. But I just, you know how you just put some here. Mm-hmm. And I got some books over here in a box. And I got clothes over here. And then just stuff. And I've got to get that room. I closed the door.
Yeah.
I told my brother, I said, you don't want to look in that bedroom. And he said, well, you want me to help you clean? No, I'll get it because I won't know where all my stuff is. So yeah. I'll get it done. But I've got to stay at home and clean my house and get my carpet and stuff clean. I've got to because we leave in July and I'll be gone for 9 days. And I told Bill, I said, then it'd be time for school to start back. I said, so I'm going to have to get my house cleaned up before we leave here.
So what schools did you go to?
I went to Bradley, where Bradley Museum is now on the Academy, from first to fifth grade.
Okay.
And then it was a place behind Holloway called Annex. And it was sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And we had to go to Holloway. We had to go up to Holloway to get to the bathroom, the library, and the cafeteria. And then when I was a freshman, I went to Holloway my freshman year through my 12th grade. And because they didn't integrate the schools here until 68. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it was the only black school it was. Mm-hmm. So that's where everybody went. And I guess the year that they tore Holloway down and they threw all the pictures and trophies and stuff in the garbage, and it used to be a lady called Hattie Tipton. She was teaching summer school, and she called out there, and I guess that's reading most of the pictures is out to the else now. They got them and just cleaned them up and put them out there. And we started having a red and black, what you call red and black Memorial Weekend. And that was, I forgot how many, 30-some years ago. And they and it's been still going on and on. Start on Friday and end on Monday. So it's just a thing that togetherness where we all just get together.
Yeah.
Because we had, I don't know how many was at the prom the other night, but I know Gloria had said something about it would hold 1,700, but it was full. And then the else the other night had to rent some chairs because it'll seat 300. I don't know how many was in there. So now I told them the fire code, if they had to come in, Bill said they would have closed it down because they had chairs everywhere. But the band was good, and it was just a good weekend. And everybody, as far as Holloway's concerned, they went to Holloway. They feel like that's all we had.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to stay together, stay in touch with each other.
Yeah.
Class of 67 and 66 had 44-year anniversary. 67 had 45. And because we hadn't had one since 2006. And that was 50 years. And I told Chandler, I said, we'd be too old time we get to 60. I said, we might as well forget it. But it's been a good, I've enjoyed life, as Bill said, happy-go-lucky. From the time I got out of school, when I went to state, and the first year I went to state, we had to go that summer, because after I got the scholarship, I had to go that summer because Temple had us, I guess he called himself grooming us, you know, for the summer for freshmen. So we had to go that summer, and he had us getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we'd have to be out on track field by 4:30.
Wow.
And we would, that was all summer long in the heat. And then when school started, and then next year, Wilma came. But I had ran with Wilma in high school, what they used to call field day.
Mm-hmm.
And you go from school to school.
Yeah.
And so I had did that, and I knew her. And so we became real close, you know, real good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she said by the time that's when I because, see, the first year she wasn't there, and then the second year she was, then I dropped out and got married. But anyway, it was a good experience, and I've enjoyed it. And just like I say, just happy-go-lucky. And yeah. I feel like that you can make your own life. You can make it whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be sad or if you want it to be happy, it's left up to you for what you want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember what some of your favorite, like, subjects were in, like, school?
I liked math till I got to geometry, mm-hmm. and I hated it, and I didn't like Miss Oakton, and because she felt like, because she knew what you're supposed to know everything she knew, and it just hurt me. And I didn't like biology because I was scared of frogs and stuff, and I didn't like dissecting. And my favorite subject was, I always liked English, and I always liked economic, and I liked home economics because I didn't like the sewing part, but I liked the cooking part.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was taking typing, and then I couldn't stand the typing teacher, so I dropped out, which was a big mistake. But other than that, and then I had my brother, Joseph, he could type.
Yeah.
So what I had to get typed, see, I'd take time. he would do it. And so mother had this little typewriter there, so we'd bam, bam, he'd bam, bam on. He said, Marge, you need to learn how to type. And I said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And that's what I tell Bill now about the computer. The redhead went on this crew. And I told Bill, he said, Marge, I got to buy me another computer because I'm just playing games. He said, it's going down. I need a nut. I said, when I go on the cruise, if I win some money, I'm going to buy you one.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back and I bought the computer. He said, Marge, you can't hurt it. Let me show you something. Computer and me, we don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't have the patience to sit there. He said, if you wasn't fidgeting, you could sit down and learn. I just can't do it. So when I get emails, I tell him, I said, Bill, you need to check and see if I got an email. He said, Mark, come on, I'll show you. I said, I just don't have the patience. But he can sit there, I bet you right now, he's off today. And I'll be willing to bet you he's sitting at that computer.
Mm-hmm.
And he might pull up a song by somebody, and he might play this song, or he might get the news from WGNS, and he'll just be sitting there. He'll look at something. I said, Bill, I said, how can you sit there? He said, well, just like when you get a book and read and don't want to be bothered with nobody. He said, it's relaxing. But to me, men and mouse don't get along. We don't get along, so I don't fool with that computer.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And I never, I big mistake about that typing, though, but I wish I had gone on to typing, but
mm-hmm.
I told Bill I'm too old now, so I just want, and then I got a little great nephew, and I got a niece, and if I really want something typed, I just call them. I said, y'all need to come over here and help your old aunt, because she can't do it. And
yeah.
They'll laugh, and they'll come do it. Yes, well, I'm not doing it, because you can do it yourself. But I'm fine.
What, were there any tensions between students, like, at Holloway in high school, or did people mostly get along, or?
Well, you know, just kids are kids.
Yeah.
You know, you don't. Some you like and some you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And those you don't fool with.
Yeah.
And then your buddies, and then they say, that's when they say you got the click.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine.
They're clicks.
Mm-hmm.
What click were you in?
Ask Katie.
Katie Wilson?
Okay. You know what she tells me? That her sister, Mission, said, Mark, they never been so glad to see your class get out of school. She said, y'all were terrible. She said, it was a class that even now, the one that's here,
mm-hmm.
they always, you know how you just be together.
Mm-hmm.
And we were real close when we were in school. And when they moved here, and we were just always close. And when we left going to state together and everything, and she said, Marge, she said, but they never been so glad to get rid of y'all. She said, because y'all keep up more noise. And she said, it just this little click. She said, it was just awful. She and Florence just talked about it. I said, but the year before she died, we had the red and black.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday night, I used to work the door. And this particular night, and I got a picture of us, it's just the two of us. She said, Marge, you need to get off the door. And when they call our class, you need to go up there with me, because this might be your last one.
Mm.
And it was.
Mm. Wow.
And I'll always keep that picture. And Katie said, well, you ought to, because y'all were booze and buddies. I said, that's okay. But you know, when you grow up and you have a special friend,
yeah.
And like Sheldon, he might have been a boy.
Yeah.
But you know how you just bond with each other.
Yeah.
And it was just a few of us, and we just stayed together.
So you're the popular clique.
Hey. All right, Katie. They just said, y'all had more fun. And then we got had a, I still got a picture. And the video, I noticed the other night on the class of when we were singing, junior singing prom. Mm-hmm. And Katie said, there go another picture. She said Sunday night, she said, there's another picture of you and Evelyn. She said, that is really sad. I said, y'all need to quit. I said, that's all in the past. I said, Evelyn not here to take up for herself. But it was just something. It was six of us.
Who'd you go to prom with? Do you remember?
I had, well, now, when I was a freshman.
Oh, you went all, did you go all 4 years?
And I,
Oh,
when
okay.
I was a freshman, I went with a senior.
Obviously, okay.
And then when I was a sophomore, I went with a junior. And when I was a junior, I could invite who I wanted to, so I invited, it wasn't a date like it was a classmate, and we went together, and mother said the reason we went together because I could make it mine, and then my senior year, I don't forget who I went with my senior year. I think I went with the boy that I went with when I was a freshman. And because he had came home from school.
Uh-huh.
And he, I went with him, I think. I'd have to look on that senior picture. But they, it was just altogether different. It was, because when I was a freshman, my mom and stepdaddy wasn't too fond of me going with this boy. But she said, she called him over and she sat him down and she talked to him. She said, now.
Yeah.
This is the first time, you know, she was talking to him. And he said, Mark, he said, your mama carried me through the meal. I said, that's just her. And she said, now, I want you to go on to school. Now, I don't want nothing happening. And she told him, she said, after the prom, wherever y'all going, she said, you make sure you bring her back just like you found her. And I thought, oh, Lord, she just embarrassed me to death. But but she didn't. And she loved him because he would always respect her. Mm-hmm. She said, and he did. But it was just happy-go-lucky. And she would, this lady across the street told her that I would have a baby before I got out of high school because she gave me too much rope. And she said, no, I trust her, she said, but she can break her own neck.
Yeah.
And she would let me go. And she said, now, she know how to go.
Yeah.
And then I had my older brother, you know, was out too. And she and she said she would trust me. And then after I got out of high school and I had been married and this lady was, before she passed, and I told her, I said, Miss Lou Bell, I said, graduated from high school and I went to college and I said I've had a husband, I don't have a husband anymore and I still don't have any kids.
Yeah.
And I was just determined I wasn't gonna let her, you know, tell me I told you so, and I was determined I wouldn't have no babies. I meant that.
Yeah.
And but it's just that then older people, but I did. I had a lot of rope because she would let me go, and I went to football games and said we had to come from Front Street, come all the way across town to this part of town, take out the football field, was just right back there.
Okay.
And she, it just was one of those things.
Yeah.
And she would let me, she just tell me that she wouldn't, she said, I'll trust you. She said, but you have to put your trust in yourself. And she said, don't ever go anywhere unless you feel like you can be a lady. If you can't be a lady, just stay at home. Mm-hmm. So I just, we get in little gangs that the people, the old people on the street say, I guess about six girls. And we would always go together. Mm-hmm. Go to movie together, go everywhere together. We go to movie on Saturday at 12 o'clock, and sometimes we'd be up at 5 or 6 o'clock. See the movie over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was just six girls, and we, and I don't think out of that six, I don't think it's but one still living. Mm-hmm. And she's in Florida. But it was just one of those things, and we would just get together and go. And at the time when we were growing up, it was a lot of stuff back in the 40s and 50s that, you know, like in the 40s, I said 42, 44, somewhere along in there when I first started school, they used to have what they call blackouts. And this horn would blow.
Okay.
And all the lights would go out. And you'd have to be at home. And we got caught one night coming from the movie. Scared to death. But then it used to be over there where this light place is now. Used to be an open field, and soldiers used to camp out over there. And we would have to stay in the house because mother didn't want, you know, she didn't want the kid. We'd have to stay in because nothing happened. But when that horn would blow, you know the lights were going to go off. And we would always try to be at home if you had a general idea, or either if you were somewhere and parents let you know that you need to be getting home. And sometimes we get called away from home, but at somebody else's house, but You'd have to stay there until the lights come back on. But it was, but to me, I've enjoyed from the time growing up until now.
That's great.
Just happy go lucky.
I like that. What about punishment? How did teachers at school discipline kids, and then how did your parents discipline y'all?
Well, when I was in, the worst time that I had was when I was in sixth grade. And that was when Miss Rucker taught my mom. And she was the principal at the school where she, and she would always tell Martha if I sneeze. And I had a hard time then with fractions. I could not reduce a fraction to save my life. And my mom could count faster in her head than I could with a pencil. And she would sit down and show me about these fractions, but I wasn't getting it. So one night she dreamt about them. And she said, you on your own. And she said that with a switch on the table. She said, you'll do them. She said, because I can't do them. I'm not in school. But Miss Susie, if I didn't get my homework or didn't do my what I was supposed to do, she would call and tell. And that was my worst year. And I had measles while I was in there, and she came to see me. And that just like to have killed me, because she just told every, you know, she just talked and talked and talked. And that was my worst year, but my best subject that I really and truly liked, I liked math and those things. And I always liked cooking, and I still like to cook. And I just, but I just didn't like, I just couldn't get those fractions. And I guess that's the reason I didn't like geometry.
Yeah.
I did geometry enough to get by, that's all.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't like it. And Miss Oakton thought that what you know, you she knew you were supposed to know, too. And I just couldn't do it. Yeah. I did well if I got that seed, it was fine with me, just as long as I got her and got out of there. But it didn't. I don't know. I've always, and if anybody told Mother anything, she would sit us down and tell us what they said, and she'd want to know our side. She said, now, there's two sides to everything, so I want to hear your side. She said, but you know, grown-ups is always right. And after we grew up, told all grown-ups wasn't always right, but you believed everything they said. But my stepfather never, he never yelled at us, even his own. He never fussed, but Mother was always, you know, out there. We used to tell her she was the bully. But he never would, he said, you know your mom gonna get you, and you know you shouldn't do this. We used to tell him, he act like he was scared of her. And he said, no, but she's telling you right, and but he never did. He never did raise his voice. And my stepmother didn't either. And that's when people always say that, Shamari, were you spoiled? I said, no. I said, I had to do what other kids did. I said, now, my stepmother didn't have any kids, but my brother and myself, I said, she would take us for us where Dad was concerned. But, you know, before it's just being mean, she never was. Because one time, I don't know how old I was a teenager. And she was going to whip me one Sunday. I told her, no, she wasn't going to whip me because I was going home with my mama. But no, but I've always felt like that whatever I wanted to do, if I made up in my mind I wanted to do that, that's what I wanted to do. And so far, I've just been happy-go-lucky. Bill said he ain't never seen nobody get up in the morning, be happy in the morning. And he said, if you don't feel good, you'll just say, well, if I get up and go, I feel better when I leave. And, but I feel like as you get older, if you give in to every pain that you have, that pain's going to be there. And so I just get up in the morning time. A lot of time my knees hurt me so bad I can't hardly stand it. But I just make up in my mind, and I got some patches I put on in my knee braces. Sometimes I put them on, sometimes I don't. And I told Bill, I said, I just get up and move.
Yeah.
And I said, I just stay active. And then I said, I don't even worry about it. And then sometime at night they might hurt, and that's just one of them things.
Yeah.
But you just get out of life what you put in it, and if you don't put anything in it, I feel like you're not going to get anything out of it. So I just try to make every day count as one day.
Yeah. What was your favorite music as a kid, favorite songs, favorite bands?
Oh, Lord, we'd like to do, we'd look at American Bandstand and every dance that, and Neil Cornelius on Soul Train, and every dance they would do, we'd always learn to do the dance.
Yeah.
And now they got the line dancing, so. But anyway, Jitterbug, and I never did like slow dancing too much, because I don't know. I just always like Jitterbug, you know, that fast dancing and stuff like that. And that was just.
Were there any artists that you liked in particular? Any musical groups?
Oh, I liked, back then, I liked the Supremes and Al Green, B.B. King, because he liked to sing the blues, and Gladys Knight and the Pimps. And who else was it? Smokey Robinson wasn't one of my favorites, but... And I really, after I grew older, and Michael Jackson, he wasn't one of my favorites. But some of the older artists, because just like this Summers Girl that just died, but now she would have maybe one or two songs you might listen to every now and then. But now B.B. King and Al Green, Supremes, stuff like that, and we'd always listen to them. And then I was trying to think of this... artist that used to sing I'll Take Care of You, and it was real good, and we liked that. Like we go down to Weeping Willow and play cards, and their folks that we put the jukebox on, and we sit down there and listen to that. And although it was a place where they drank beer, you didn't have to be drinking no beer, because back then we just used to like to go down there, because the man that ran it for T90 was he liked cards and stuff, and we just go down there, just a bunch of girls, about eight of them, and we would sit down there and play cards and just have a fun day on Saturday, maybe from 12 to maybe 4 or 5 in the evening, you know, before the crowd started coming in. And that would give you, well, we'd do that, and then we'd go home and get ready, and then we'd be ready to dance the night away. But it was just happy-go-lucky.
What about favorite TV shows?
I never have what you've been... stuck on TV. Even now, I look at, I like the game show, and I, for a while, I used to look at soap operas. I used to run home from work to see Days of Our Lives, and I finally broke myself from that. But I'm not really what you said, just certain things. Now, like Dancing with the Stars, and Julie was saying the other day about Big Brothers was coming back on. I don't know when, but it's always during June or July. So, and I like that. And but as far as just sitting down looking at TV, I can look at a movie and something like that, or either read. I'm not really a TV fan. Like game shows.
What do you like to read, or when you're growing up, did you like to read?
I always have liked to read, but I'll tell you one reason that I read. When I was 16, and I'll always read, I don't drink alcohol to this day. My brother came home from service in 53. I think I'm 53. But anyway, it was my 16th birthday, and he carried me out with him for my birthday and some girlfriends. And they had this alcohol, and I drank some. And before we got home, he said, Marge, you need to throw that up. He said, because Marvel's going to kill me and you too. And I couldn't get it up. And when I got home, she always kept this white sheet on the bed, as, you know, like spread. And she had just papered the house and painted the woodworks for that summer. And she, when I got home, it came up just as I got ready to get into bed, and it went all over the wall, all over the bed. And I can just see it now. And the next morning when I got up, she left me alone that night. The next morning I got up. Oh, I was sick, she said, and it was hot that morning. She said, you know what? She said, I'm not going to whip you. She said, but if you didn't learn a lesson last night, you never will, because your mom got something for you. So I had to wash the wall down. You know, I had to clean up my mess. And she told me for my punishment, I had to go to the library every week, every other day, and get a book and tell her what I read. And that like to have killed me. I couldn't go nowhere. I had to sit on the porch the whole summer and read a book. Did not let me go nowhere. I couldn't go to free movies. I couldn't go across town. I couldn't play with nobody. I couldn't do nothing. The whole summer.
Wow.
But I had to read that book and tell her what I read the whole summer. And when I'd see my friends coming down the street, you know, like I'd be on the porch, I'd get up and go in the house, because I couldn't talk to nobody. I couldn't do nothing. I could talk to you, but I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't do nothing. So I'd just get up and go in the house. And they used to have what you call carnivals. And see, they'd be going over to the carnival, and I'd just go in the house because I couldn't go nowhere. The whole summer, she made me stay at home and go to the library. And the library is where the Performing Arts Building is uptown now.
Okay.
Went up, I walked up there every day, every other day, and got a book. And I had to tell her what I read. Sat on that porch. And now, I guess that's the reason I like to read now. Because I go buy a book. I guess I got every book that Danielle Steele ever put out. And I just go get a book. And I buy those farm word books. And I farm words and I'll read a book. Because when I had seen the movie of Help, and Bill said, Mark, why'd you buy the book? I said, it's more in the book than it was in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it was. And I read the book and I had the movie. And so he said, I just don't understand how you just sit up and read all the time. He said, that would drive me crazy. I said, don't bother me. I said, because I can occupy myself by reading. Mm-hmm. And if I get tired of reading, I keep me a form of word book. So I can't went to the dentist this morning. And I just form the words in the book, and I'm just content.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. What about favorite foods from when you were a kid? Or favorite dishes your mom cooked or anything?
We used to like for more to make spaghetti. And she used to make these things, they call them sugar cookies now, but she used to call them tea cakes. And she would make those, and I still like the greens. And she used to fix asparagus, but I can fix them. But I can't fix them like she fixed them because it seemed like hers were more, I don't know, together. And but she used to fix dishes like that, and she used to like in the summertime, she would grill hamburgers, and before we had the grill, she used to cook them on the stove, but she had this little rack that she would put them on, and she would always have something, even before we had a refrigerator, when the Iceman used to come by, that she would always make sure that during the summer that we had a popsicle in the afternoon, and she would just do things, and I like, now, I don't care that much for sandwiches because she always cooked.
Yeah.
And she said she couldn't afford to feed us sandwiches that much with that many kids. So she said it would be cheaper with the boys to put a pot on the stove than it was to fix a lot of sandwiches. But now on Saturday, she would fix sandwiches, and we would have the chips and the Kool-Aid and stuff like that. But other than just a regular thing, and it's not too many foods that I don't like, because she would try anything to see if we would like them. And I guess we all just about eat. It's not too many things we don't eat, because she would try it all. And then she would tell us if we like it, she might fix it again. But now, like spaghetti, when we come home from school in the afternoon, we would have, before she got dinner fixed, she'd always have something for us to snack on. And we would have peanut butter crackers. She would have cheese. She used to grill cheese, and I still like to grill them with two pieces of bread, and Bill like them with one piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
But she would grill those cheese, and seemed like when she would cut them, they would melt in your mouth. And we would eat those in the evening until she got ready for dinner. And then, so we'd have a snack when we got home. And she'd have some Kool-Aid, summer and winter. We'd drink that Kool-Aid. And I don't fix Kool-Aid today. I told him I had enough Kool-Aid when I was growing up. I don't even make no Kool-Aid. Bill fix him some sometime, but I don't fool with Kool-Aid. I told him, I said, I drank enough Kool-Aid when I was growing up. That's because that's all we had was Kool-Aid and lemonade. That's all we had. Because
yeah.
She always told us we didn't need cold drinks. She said she would give them to us sometimes, but we didn't have cold drinks every day. You know, even 2-3 times a week, because she said it wasn't good for you. And I don't think any of us really drink cold drinks now.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
What was the biggest meal that you would have? And, like, would everyone come together for one of the meals?
Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday. Because we would always have people from church, and her grandfather, her father's father, and they would always come, or either we would go to my grandfather's house, and that was where they would always congregate together. So Sundays was the biggest time that you saw everybody, the family as a whole, and she said she felt like after church it was time for the family to be together, and I don't care what we were doing, she'd always tell us we need to be at home for dinner.
Where did your grandfather live?
What they used to call Water Street, where Broad Street is coming down from, because Ice House used to be where the Discovery Center is now.
Okay.
Right there, coming down there. They used to be Water Street. And we would go down there and say we had to come from across town from Front Street. And so my uncle would always come and get us, and we would go back over Grandpa's some Sundays, and then sometime they would come over there.
Okay.
And we would always just be one big happy family on Sunday after church. We always go to either place and have lunch. And her aunts and her uncles and her father and grandfather, and they all would be there, and we'd just be one little happy family. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we would go to my stepfather's, but you know, his family. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was just always a family thing on Sundays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you do much traveling in your youth, when you were young?
Well, not really, because most of my family were between here and Nashville at the time when I was growing up, mm-hmm. between Smyrna and Murfreesboro and what they call Little Hope,
okay.
and stuff like that. And so it wasn't really that much going. Now, we went to Indianapolis because she had an aunt that lived in Indianapolis, and then she had an aunt that moved to Louisville. And we used to go to Louisville sometime, but it wasn't that much. But no, I think after I got out of high school, after I got my divorce the first time, that's when I started going. And then when I, in 62, we married in 62, and in 72, I joined the Elks, and they had the conventions and things. So we make that as a vacation time. Mm-hmm. In April, it's always the state, and then in October, it's Midwinter Conference, and then in July and the first week of August, it's always the national, mm-hmm. and so we just make that as a vacation time going, and that's what we do. So I said the 26th of July, we'll leave going to Houston, and we'll stay until August the 3rd, so that'll be our last vacation day for, you know, for the year, and we just do that.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So what was college like? How did you enjoy that? Did you stay in the dorms, or were you in the, you stay at home?
Well, when I was running track, I had to stay in the dorm, mm-hmm. because I had to be on campus and be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. But after track season, I stayed with my dad.
Okay.
And I rode the city bus from 15th of Macmillan to school.
Did your dad have more children with his new wife? Did your dad have children with his second wife? Okay.
There were just the two of us, and she never had any kids, and until the day she died, she always, I don't know, she, you wouldn't say worship, but she just always was right there for us. Mm-hmm. And after he went in service, and then that left me by myself, and then my, then when coming home to mother or either being with them, it was just the two of us with her.
Yeah.
And it was just, she was just always, and her sister, and we were. I was real close to her sister, because the first time I went to the New Era was New Year's Eve once, and I didn't drink anything or nothing. She said, well, just come on, you need to go. Well, I was, I think, 18, 17, 18, and she didn't, my stepmom said, well, she's not old enough, you know, and she don't need to. She said, well, I'll see after, I just want her to see it. Mm-hmm. And we went, and I had a ball. And I just sit there, you know how you sit, and I love to dance. Mm-hmm. So that was just something that I enjoyed. But just boys going to, on Sundays, we, even with her, we had to go to church. Mm-hmm. And we used to go to hear this group sing at Olivet on first Sunday night. It was just a bunch of girls, and we walked down now Charlotte to the church. But it was just, I don't know, because Bill says now that I always had it happy-go-lucky. But it wasn't like that. It was just between the two sets of parents. It was always give a chance or give them a chance and, you know, just see what they'll do with it.
Yeah.
And I just never have. I just always felt happy-go-lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so tell me about your job history. So I know that, okay, so after you graduated from,
I graduated from Holloway in 1956.
Right.
I went to TSU 56, the fall of 56 and 57, mm-hmm. and 57 and 58. And in 59, I didn't go back. I started, but I quit and got married.
Right.
Okay, and then I started working at Worth and Bag, and I stayed in Nashville, and then stayed out there in Woodbine. I said he put me out there in the dark. But we stayed out there in Woodbine. And then after I got a divorce, I went back to stay with I stayed in Nashville and stayed with Worthing Bag, and I was going to school at night. And I went back and stayed with my dad and my stepmother. And then I worked, and I was still working at Worthing Bag in 62 when me and Bill married. And then I came home, and I worked, married in July, and I came home to stay. And I quit working at Worthing Bag at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I came home. And then after that, I stayed at home that December until the next May. And I started working at Wilson Quick. And I worked at Wilson Quick, and I left Wilson Quick. And then they had this, they moved to what they call Farmex.
Well, what's Wilson Quick? Sorry.
It was a drugstore.
Okay.
And they had this little fountain thing, and then they had plate. Then they got, so they had lunches. And then they had, when the pharmacist bought Farmex, and they moved to Farmex, and then they had the big kitchen, and we moved there, and I worked there for 2 years, and then I started working at what they call Park Sherman, where they made cigarette lighters, mm-hmm. liquor pumps, they screened on hats, on caps, lighters, what they call juice pump, just different, anything they could think of that they could put a name on it, because they even did got balls. Mm-hmm. And I worked there until 80, when did I go into the school system? I decided I was going to do that, 83.
Okay.
And I worked in school system from 83 to 2003.
And what did you do?
Teacher's aide.
Okay.
We used to say teacher's flunker. Because anything they didn't want to do, you did it. Mm-hmm. But one reason I like working with the kids, because even when I was out there to work for kindergarten 1 year, because I told them that I used to tell Tony, Dr. Smith's wife, I cannot stand this every day. They crying, they pooping on themselves. I said, just can't take this. I said, I have to get way down here. But when I first started in Northfield Open, the principal that was there, well, after he left after 2 years, Miss Norris thought that he switched us up. And that's when she put me down there. I told her I couldn't take it. She said, well, I thought he did that. I said, no, I was in first grade. I said, but I don't want to go to kindergarten no more. I'm just going to have to quit. So I went back to first grade, and I stayed in first grade until, I think it was 3 years, two or three years before I retired. And I went to fifth grade. And I didn't understand that a fifth grader couldn't add, subtract, divide, read. They were reading out of first and second grade books. And you had to help them. And I used to tease Miss Lamb, I said, we did better than this in first grade. Mm-hmm. But you had to really be with them, just really stay with them. And when they learned to come out of that first and second grade book and went to the library and could get a third grade reader, a fourth grade reader, and so Miss Lamb, she had the reading, and she would always award them. Mm-hmm. And that's really, they always ask me now, because then, they had to do reading tests on the computer. Well, see, yeah. I learned it. I could do that.
Yeah.
And they just stuff that I did in school with the computer. And then when I got out, it was altogether different. I just told Bill, I said, well, I didn't fool with that computer. I said, for years. He said, well, Mari, you always talk about you had the computer class if the teacher wasn't there. I said, yeah, we had to do that too. Mm-hmm. And, but I enjoyed it, but I don't know. But it was just a lot of fun. And I like working with the kids. And at the time, the teachers, I didn't have a problem with the teachers. Mm-hmm. And they always call me now, want me to volunteer, and I'll go over there sometime. But those are still there. They got a lot of young teachers up there in kindergarten and first grade, because a lot of the kindergarten teachers went to Scales when they moved. Mm-hmm. And then some of them retired. And so sometime I go over there and volunteer, and sometime, because I know during TCAP I went up there and volunteered. But real stuff, and I enjoyed it. But I probably wouldn't have retired. But I didn't like the principal. Mm. And I knew if I didn't come out of there, she was going to keep me. I wasn't going to get my retirement. So I thought, I might as well quit. So when I put in for retirement, she asked me why I didn't tell her. I said, if you were going to fire me, you weren't going to tell me. I said, so I thought it'd be best that I get out. But the only thing that I didn't like about her, she believed everything the parents said.
Okay.
And the parents can be wrong just like I can be wrong. Yeah. So this parent wrote her a letter, and it was in real two pages, real small typing. And I thought, you weren't here yesterday, and the assistant principal, I thought this was over. And so she called in the office, and she would tell me, and the only thing that teed me off when she pointed a finger at me. And I couldn't take it. Now I spoke out, and I told her, I said, this is something I don't have to do. So that January, I just put in for retirement. Yeah. And she said, well, Marge, you don't need to. But I told him if I had known that when they built scale that she was going to go to scale, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have retired.
Yeah.
But I knew that we wasn't going to get along. And I said, another year, she would probably fire me. And I said, then I wouldn't have got my TEA money. I said, made me mad.
Yeah.
So I just never did. I left. But I go over there a lot now. And I'll, now Miss Lamb is principal at Mitchell Nelson mm-hmm. Elementary Primary.
Yeah.
And I go over there and see her. She'll call me. And then a bunch of them that were EAs that we worked together from the time Northfield was, because I think I was the first one to retire. And then Millie retired. She lives in Tullahoma now. But we try to go to lunch once or twice a month mm-hmm. and do things together, and we still stay in touch. And then every time one retired, we always... went to their retirement and all of that, and we try to stay together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just clapped. all right, pick it up. So, military, have you or your spouse ever served in the military?
Okay. No.
You said your father, though?
Yeah, my father and my brother was.
Okay.
But not me.
Okay. Were they?
That's one thing never bothered me. Yeah. I just didn't want to leave home. I have never been one of those that wanted to leave home to stay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had never really, they always say I was a homebody, but I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were your parents' jobs?
My dad worked as, he worked what you call Church Street Garage until he retired. And they used to park cars and do stuff and, it was something like a garage where you worked on cars, parked cars, you know, it was all mixed up together. And then my stepmother worked for this family where she raised all the kids. And until she died, they still, when she got sick, you would thought they were her kids instead of, because their mom and dad wasn't living and they still would call and say about her. But she worked there. And then my stepfather was in school system, which that was good for me too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then my mom always was in restaurants. She always liked cooking and doing, so she was always in restaurants, but she loved it, and it was just a happy-go-lucky family. And I tell you, she would bring hamburgers. She used to bring bags of hamburgers home at night for us. And if she got off at 3 o'clock in the evening, she'd always have something for us. If she didn't get off, if she worked at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, she always had something for us. And when my grandma, her mother's house burned, when they lived out there, what they called Little Hope,
mm-hmm.
she brought her and her husband home, grandpa home with her.
Yeah.
And so when she was at work and after my stepfather died, my grandmother was there. They were there. And she was just about as bad because you had to take that lamp and sit at that table and do homework. Don't she tell mother that we were playing and we didn't do this and we didn't do that. Yeah. But it was always... She always wanted us to just be a family.
Mm-hmm.
And we just always, she always had something for us to do together.
Yeah.
Even if it meant if we got to fight, and she used to always tell us to sit down and talk it over because she said, although you're sisters and brothers, she said, but you need to, and I know you're not going to get along all the time, but you need to work it out.
Yeah.
And we used to tell her she'd be the judge and we'd be crying, and she said, but you got to work it out. You just can't say. And then sometime, and we laugh about it now. And then she said, now you need to hug and make up. And, oh, that would just kill us to have to do that. Oh, she said, now you need to hug and make up. Oh, that would just kill me. And we laugh about it now. Joe said, that's the way I used to tell little Joe and Prince that you have to hug and make up. He said, I thought about that. She used to make us do that all the time. And she did. She said, but, you know, as a family, you're not supposed to be fussing and fighting. But I had one brother that's next to me. Mm-hmm. So we used to fight all the time. And she said, well, you just have to be. You have to make up. She said, I don't know why y'all want to fight. But he was always the kind that, he didn't want you to tell him to do nothing, and he always wanted to be the boss, and we just couldn't get along. But she would always say, well, you have to hug and make up, and that would just kill me. I just didn't like to do that. But that's it.
And what was, so where are your parents from?
Yeah, my dad was from Smyrna.
Okay.
And my mother was from what they call Little Hope.
Okay.
They're off of, down there, before you get to Smyrna.
Okay. And what was their highest level of it? How far did they go in education?
Now, mother, daddy, said he went in service when he was in eighth grade. And mother, I think she went to the 10th. But as far as math was concerned, I don't care what you put before. She could count it faster in her head than I could when it's on some paper. But 10th, I believe she said the 10th.
Okay. And your dad, you said he was in the military. How far did he?
He stayed in service. Dad stayed in service 27 years.
Wow. Did he go overseas or?
Mm-hmm. He was in World War II.
World War II?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you've answered this for your mom pretty much, but like, what was the biggest lesson that your dad ever taught you? What was kind of like the biggest lesson that your dad taught you, do you feel like?
Always be yourself. He would always sit down and say, you just be yourself. And he said, he was another one. I always said, don't ever forget where you come from, no matter what you get. He said, always appreciate it. He said, but never get above yourself. Mm-hmm. And he said, if the friends that you have, he said, don't ever think about that you are better than they are, no matter what you do or what you accomplish in life. And I just said, happy-go-lucky. And Bill said, I'll tell you what. He said, your mom and dad trip y'all out, because he be talking about us all the time. He said, Martin, he said, y'all still believe everything mom and dad said. And I said, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We really do. And that one way, I think, that's the reason we stay together. And it's not a day passed or day or two passed that all of us hadn't talked to each other that day.
Yeah.
And she just always instilled that in us, no matter what, you know, try to stay together.
Yeah. What about your grandparents? Where are they from?
Here.
Okay.
And my dad, I never did know dad's mother and father because they died before when I was real small. But now mother's parents I did. Her dad's folks and her mom people. And we all just grew up together. Uh-huh. But now for his dad people, now I knew one of his brothers and two of his brothers and his aunt, his sister, which is fantastic that she, tomorrow, I got to go down there tomorrow. She'll be 103.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And still live by herself.
Oh, dear God. How?
She don't,
how?
But she don't want to stay with nobody. She said, Uncle Andrew bought that house for her. And she said, I'm going to stay here. And she fell and broke her arm, but she's got one of them things, I'm falling, can't get up. And she said the paramedics came and picked her up. She fell on the rug and broke her arm. And they came and picked her up and carried her to the emergency room, set her arm, and brought her back. And she said she didn't have to call her granddaughter, grandson, nobody. They brought her back. And she said the next morning she called and told them what happened. And they said, you don't need to be by yourself. She said, I don't want to stay with nobody because I want to. So she took all the rugs up off the floor after that. But her granddaughter comes in the morning and picks up breakfast. Her church members come at lunchtime and make sure she has her lunch. And then her grandson stays with her. Now, he won't let us stay by herself at night. And he stayed with her at night and fixes them. Mm-hmm. So she's okay. She said she's happy. And she said, Maureen, I just get her. She said, I'm slow. And she said, my eyesight is not as good as it used to be. I said, mine either. She said, but I just don't want to stay with nobody. She said, I just want to be in my own house where my own stuff is.
Yeah, makes sense.
She stays there. She said, as long as she can get about. She said, I might be slow. But she has some good neighbors
that
checks on her, too. Mm-hmm. And she said, that's one reason she don't want to leave. She said, because if I go somewhere else, she said, nobody know me. Mm-hmm. And she said, people are breaking in and doing stuff. And she said, and it's a bunch of young boys around now. And she said, I know they're dealing drugs. She said, but as long as they watch me and don't let nobody come and bother me, she said, I don't care. She said, I don't sit on the porch anymore because, you know, she don't know. because the first time they hadn't seen us. So we went down there one Sunday, and this boy came. We got out the car and was started up, and he asked us where we were going. And I said, to see Maggie. And he said, who are you? So after I got in the house and I told Aunt Tab, she said, Mark, they won't bother you. She said, but he hadn't seen you. And he wanted to know why you were coming over here. She said, because nobody that they hadn't seen gets in this house.
Oh.
She said, they don't get in here. She said, they don't even get up on the step. And so afterwards, she went to the door and called them. It was two of them. And they came over and they said they were sorry. He said, but we don't want nothing to happen to Miss Maggie. He said, I grew up over here. And he don't. They don't. They go to the store for her. They just do whatever they want, come and check on her every day. And she said, Maureen, I don't care what they do on the street. She said, they're not bothering me. She said, as long as they look after me, I'm staying in my house.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They real good to her. But she said, if I need something from the store, and she said, they'll come and ask me, do I have any ice cream? And if I tell them yes or no, they'll go get us some ice cream and bring it back. She said, so I don't bother. She said, they're not bothering me on the street. She said, they hurting themselves. She said, but as long as they watch this house, but if somebody out there day and night can tell you who goes in that house.
Yeah.
But she said they watch that house, and she said she don't care what time of night it is. She said they can tell her who comes to that door.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. But I said, I told Bill, I said, you think I'd have somebody like that? He said, mm-mm. He said, oh, you know, you crazy. He said, oh, you won't know what they're going to do that for and all that, asking a bunch of questions. He said, but they wouldn't do you that way. He said, but they don't, because this man lived in the next house to us. He has been in jail for 6 months, and he came home to, you know how people be at your house?
Mm-hmm.
And they had, I guess it's his grandkids, but they just be tromping and they be running through the yard. And one night I was coming in, and it was about 8 o'clock back in the winter, and I almost hit one of them. I said, why would you be outdoors playing that time of night?
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him the other day, I said, he said he'd been on vacation. I said, what vacation you been on? I said, when the sheriff was looking for you. And he laughed. And I said, I just don't understand it. And he told me who it was, and he said, they won't be over here too much now. He said, they just wild. And I said, yeah. I said, late at night, I said, they don't need to be out on no bicycle.
Yeah.
But I'm happy go lucky. I just feel say I'm by myself. But I'm not really by myself. But I don't have any kids, and I don't say anything to them. I let them go on, but I don't want to run over one.
Yeah. I hope not.
And I said, I don't want to run over one, but I try to watch them. But
What did your grandparents do for a living? Do you know?
They were farmers. They had a farm, and they raised everything you could raise in the garden. And then we would go stay sometime in the summer with my mother's mother. And we'd get to ride the ponies, and we would get to go down to the garden. And they had corn and cotton and stuff like that, and that's what they did. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, yeah. Did your family own property?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which?
My grandmother and them did in the country.
Okay. Did your family ever share crop?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
All right. Were there other elders in the community who were really important in your life, growing up?
Yes and no, because everybody within that community had some ways and means of seeing that you did the right thing, and it was something like a family thing.
Because
everything you did within the community was like a community thing. The whole block was included in it, because I know if you stump your toe, this lady name is Jenny, she'd tell it. And it was just, we just played from house to house and in the street and in the place. And we used to have this little thing that long time ago they used to put, it used to be a truck that come by every other day, you know, like you, when you had ashes from the heater or the fireplace, and you put them on the side of the street, and we used to go out there and knock them down. And this lady told us one day, they're not going to get that stuff if y'all keep on scattering it all over the street. And I told her, I said, well, you're not my mama. And, of course, she told it. But we play in that stuff after they pile it out there. And it was just something different. And then the days the Iceman come, and then the Milkman came, and I said, now you would, the kids now would be shocked to death to see the Milkman running.
Yeah.
The Iceman, and because when I, one night, back here not too long ago, when we had the kids and they wanted to know what the Iceman mean, I said he came on Monday mornings, Fridays and stuff like that, uh-huh. You know, three times a week. And I said she would always get 150-pound ice and put it in this ice box. And but we couldn't chip it. You had to get a drink of water out of there. And I said, you know what? I said, I remember. I said, now you worry about germs and things. I said, but we had this dipper that was in this bucket. And I said, everybody, the whole family drank out this dipper if you didn't put it in a glass. I said, but you could drink out the dipper. Mm-hmm. And I said, now you would really and truly be afraid. But it was just one of those things.
Yeah.
And I said, you never got sick. And I said, well, kids stay out of school now a lot of times, you know, being sick. I don't remember staying at home, being sick, but nothing but the mumps. And I carried them home to my mama. I had the mumps, and I had the measles.
Yeah.
And I remember when my sister had her Adenol taken out. And we came from school that day, and the doctor's office was uptown.
Yeah.
So we stopped at McClendon's and got, we were eating peanuts.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't know she wasn't supposed to eat them, so she asked for some. We gave them some, and they got hung in the throat.
Oh, God.
And so we got punished for that. But just stuff like that, but you didn't, because every 2 weeks we had to take a laxative to clean your system off so you wouldn't have no cold. You wouldn't do this, wouldn't do that. And the lady across the street, her granddaughter, she raised her granddaughter, and she was... She sent her across the street for mother to give her the medicine too. And she'd always tell her, Monday's the big week. And we used to hate to hear her say that on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Monday's the big week, because I know that was the morning we had to take castor oil. And she would send Peggy across the street. But it was just like a family thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And we all played together. And now kids, when they stay together too long, they get to fussing and fighting now. They can't get along. But if it's not, you know, if it's not my buddy. But it wasn't what you call buddy-buddy. It was just, we just played, and if you got mad, you just go home.
Yeah.
But now they want to fight. We didn't, it wasn't a lot of fighting. There was one group that I used to run home every day. And the first pair of glasses I had, I lost them running. And then one Sunday I was in some kind of, something at school, and mother let me wear my Easter shoes to school, and I pulled them off running, and I dropped one in the sewer up there by the women's club, and just stuff like that. And she locked me out of those one day, and she told me I had to learn to fight for myself and stop running. And so then after that, and then after we grew up a little bit, it wasn't fighting and stuff. But at first I wouldn't fight, because I always thought that my brother could take up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't fight, and she told me I had to learn to take up for myself. Mm-hmm. And then when I started taking up for myself, I have to stay out of school for fight.
So, hey.
I had to stay out of school for fight. I used to have to walk home by myself. I'd have to go down State Street through the bottom and go up Front Street, or either I'd have to go out Academy Street, turn at Lytle, and go home to Front Street, because that's the way she had it mapped out. I was in fifth grade. I never will forget it. And she said, you'll have to go this way today because you're fighting on that end. Well, you got to go this way this time because you're fighting on that end. And she'd have them mapped out, and then she would call mother and see what time I got home. And she said, I kept her for so-and-so. And mother said, well, I wish I never told you to fight. Now you're fighting and have to stay in after school. But I had to stay in after school a lot of days, because I'd be fighting on the way home. And then they'd tell you the next day she'd, but I have to go home. I have to wait till the kids get off the street, and then I can go home.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just happy go lucky, get home and go on about my business.
Yeah, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, while you were growing up, what were you told about slavery, if anything?
Well, my mom always told me what they had to do.
Okay.
And I just always, we always asked them, my mom and my grandma, my dad too, stepfather too, how did y'all do that? How did you make it? It wasn't, and they would say, well, it wasn't anything to do. You know, they didn't know any better. And she said, after that, she said, because the places a lot of places that they were talking about that we had that they didn't have. And I tell the kids now a lot of things that they had that we didn't have, because when I was growing up, they had this thing in McClellan's. We could cut through McClellan's. But they had this thing that I never did like. It had colored over here, mm-hmm. white over here for the water fountains. Mm-hmm. And then it was always different. And when we went to the movie, they were down and we had to sit up. We right. had to go up like in the balcony like. And it was always just different. And mothers used to say, well, this time, it used to be times that we couldn't do this and we couldn't do that and you all can do that. And I look at the kids now, they have it made. Because a lot of places, the restaurants, if you went, like if you wanted to go, I'll say to McDonald's, a place like that, and like you all would go in the front door. Mm-hmm. See, they had a place to the side door, the back door. And I used to hate it. Why can't you go through the front? And mother would sit down and she'd try to explain to her, but no. And it was just one of those things. We just grew up like that. It was a place that you couldn't go, and you couldn't go. Like if you went out of town somewhere, boy, if you didn't live with a relative or something, it wasn't such a thing as staying at a motel because you couldn't stay. And it was just different. Mm-hmm. And we used to ask them, well, how did you do so-and-so? Well, you just got used to it. You couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. And it was just different. And then as I was growing up, you know, like the whites stayed on this side of town, you stayed on this side of town. And to go to school, we used to wonder how, when I was small, how do you pass a school to get to another school?
Right.
Because I passed two schools in grammar school before I got to Bradley.
Right.
And how do you do this? And then they would sit down and try to explain it to you, but we never could understand until you got older. And it was just the one school with Bradley, Annex, and Holloway. So that's all we had. The kids from Woodbury, Christiana, Smyrna, Laverne, places like that, they had to be bused into Holloway.
Right.
And look at the schools from Woodbury that they passed.
Yeah.
That's Kittrell, all the schools that they passed to get to Holloway. And it was just different. And it was just really and truly different. And you didn't see it until you got older. Why are they being bused and they passing by school? And your parents would try to explain it to you, but you know, you really didn't understand it.
When you did understand it, what did you think?
Well, why? Because, you know, when I was growing up, we used to get books that the white kids had used at Central. Half of the pages might not be in them. They might be torn. They'd be wrote all up. But you had no more books. You had to do the best you could with them. And then mother used to tell us, well, you all had more than we had. Well, what did y'all do? If we are doing this, and when I was at Bradley now, if you ever get a chance to go over there to the museum.
Yeah, I've been
you
there.
You did?
Yeah, I've been there.
Right. Okay, did you see in the Heritage Room mm-hmm. where the bookcase that they used?
I think
the book,
so, uh-huh. Yeah.
But anyway, these little Latin things that we used to wonder, and each classroom had this one big dictionary, and in the Heritage Room we got Miss Lloyd sitting up there. And I thought, as I got older and you looked, and then after they segregated school, well, the difference in the schools were different too. And back then it just seemed like, why? What's the difference? You work for them, you do this, but you can't do that. I said, the books are different. And I said, like if we went to the store to buy notebook paper, seemed like the notebook paper was higher on one side than it was on the other. And it was just something that you just couldn't, you could really and truly couldn't get used to. But we finally learned to live with it and went right on. And after we found out that that's the only place you got to go to school, so you just go and make the best of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then do you know if anyone, I guess if anyone in your family was ever a slave, like back in prior generations?
No. The people, I mean, you knew them when they came along during that time, but you really didn't know because they had come out of some of it, and mm-hmm. they had moved and started doing for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And as they said, been sold off, and then they had started doing for themselves and working for themselves and raising their own cotton and corn and mm-hmm. stuff. It was altogether different. They would talk about it because my granny would talk about it, and my grandpa would always talk about things that they had to go through.
Right.
That you don't see how that you can work for them in the fields and sharecrop and do all that stuff, but you wasn't allowed to do other things. And I said, because we used to say, I used to ask the mother, well, why is so-and-so family lighter than this family? And she would talk about how they used to say the master did this and the kids and all of that, and that's when it was so mixed up. And I said, at first you didn't understand it, and as you grow older, mm-hmm. you understand it. So right. just take one day at a time and go in on. You just make the best of it. And at the time, because I remember the first year that Miss Woods went to Milton City. And just think, the kids had been going out of town, you know, leaving home, going to Austin Peay, going to Clark, Florida, Nashville, different places, the black kid, and that was MTSU right out there that you couldn't go to.
Right.
And the day that Miss Lydia Woods went out there, she was the first black that went to MTSU. And it was just altogether different. It started to change, but look at the years. And she had already been teaching school, but she didn't, what you had say, have a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So she went back to MTSU, and she was teaching school in some school in the rural. But she went back, and she was the first black with MTSU.
Mm-hmm. What, when integration started happening, what were your thoughts on that?
Not too much or nothing. Nothing. I said, because at first when it started, it wasn't that much difference in it. And it wasn't, and it had to really grow on you to really see the difference that you still was not in that category, but they wanted to make you think you were. But no, you hadn't got that far. Because even when I got out of high school, it was a lot of places and a lot of things that we still couldn't do. And then, but now when you go to Nashville, and they were still having those sit-ins at the McClellan's, you know, downtown and mm-hmm. stuff, and having all that stuff, and then, I don't know, it just finally changed, seemed like it changed all at once. But at first it wasn't for the better, because a lot of things were still the same.
Yeah.
So, it was still the same, so.
What was the relationship between whites and blacks like in when you were growing up that you can remember? Like, did you have any friendships with whites or know any whites?
Well, the man that mother worked for, his name was Floyd Lamb, and she had worked for him for so many years, and he had a daughter named Juanita, and his niece was from Clarksville Parish. And I don't know if you've been around here long enough to know that it's a boy called Bob Lamb. He has a real estate place. But anyway, this was his father. And when we would go to there, he would give us time to do homework and stuff. But it was more like family thing, because we did a lot of things together mm-hmm. with him, Juanita and Bobby and Farris, and we were just there. We weren't out nowhere, but down there as far as the restroom was concerned, because the back was screened in, and we did homework out there, and then we went to work. And then when he carried us home at night, he would always say goodnight, and then he said, Mari, have a good day tomorrow at school. It was altogether different. Mm-hmm. But just far as buddies, no. And until mother died, I guess, I don't know where Juanita Ferris is now, but Bobby's still here. And he used to, when she was in the nursing home, he would go over to see her, and he said he'll always remember her, you know, making him mine and do stuff, and mm-hmm. it was just one of them things.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, what you say, a coming out thing that even because I was out of school by the time they segregated, because the year that they said if they had to segregate the schools and they had changed, it would have been in 65. Well, see, Holloway didn't really close Holloway to 68. Mm-hmm. And that was the year of 68 and 69, because they went to school to Christmas break before they mm-hmm. went to center.
Okay.
And finally, they said they finally accepted it. But see, at first, they wasn't going to accept it. So it was just something altogether different. And I guess that's the reason that we still have the red and black and right, try to right. stay together. And yesterday, with the school on the hill, mm-hmm. you would be surprised that the kids, I mean, were the grown-ups, that were there yesterday with the tents up, the music, the barbecue, the fish, the popcorn, you know, just stuff. And it was just a friendly day, but I had to leave the sun a little bit too hot for me. I just can't stand outdoors in that heat. Mm-hmm. So I left about 1, but they said they didn't leave till last night till it got dark. Some of them didn't, but they were still coming and going. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fun day, and it's just something that you can always remember, that this is what we had, and this was just us.
Yeah.
And so we still get together. And now they have the Red and Black Memorial Weekend is about the best thing. But the classes have class reunions, but they usually don't have them till this particular weekend.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. What was your experience with, do you have any specific memories of racism from your mm-hmm. life?
No.
Okay. What about, do you feel like, what do you remember about, like, going shopping growing up? And if there were any, like, the role of Black-owned businesses, I guess, in the community?
The biggest thing were, say, doctors that were Black doctors, the funeral homes. While I was in school, there used to be a place that they used to call Mink Slide that they had this restaurant, this man and woman had it, and we used to stop by there in school. They had the soda fountain and all that, and we stand there. And then Stickney and Griffin, they used to be on the square. Mm-hmm. The Scott boys, their dad used to work there, and then every Scott boy worked at Stickney and Griffin. Mm-hmm. And because we remember when Jean first got pregnant. And so they said some quinine tablets would help her. Mm-hmm. And we would take our lunch money because she couldn't go in there because the boys was in there. Her brothers was in there. Didn't do any good. Sherry come in just as fat and healthy as ever. But just like we said, we call ourselves going to help her so the boys wouldn't find out. But she, then after she got married, so that made her drop out of the circle. So it was just, and she went back to school. But during the time then, if you had a baby or got married, even got married and didn't have any kids, they wouldn't let you go to school. Mm-hmm. So they would end up going to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And a lot of kids that dropped out like that ended up going to Nashville. But see, now you can take your child over at Holloway, you can take your child to school with you.
Yeah.
And I said, because I got a girlfriend that's in Florida now, she got married and her husband was in service. And when they found out that she was married and she was a junior, and before school was out, they put her out of school. But she went back to school, you know, after she left. But she had to stop because then they wouldn't let you go if you were married or had a baby or anything. But she, now you can go with the baby and everything else. But I said it was altogether different. It seemed like as time changed, I mean, as the years changed, everything changed. That what we couldn't do, now they can do, you know, just different stuff. And it's just altogether different. Because if you had a baby, it looked like to me, if your parents were going to help you with that baby, you could go to school, but they did not. Because this girl said yesterday that she, one girl had got back in school, and she said something about going back, and she said her parents had to send her to Nashville for her to go back to school to get her diploma. And I said, well, when we were freshmen, I think we had 15 that dropped out of school. Mm. Out of 100. 109, 100 and something. But it was 15 of them that dropped out of school. But all of them went back, 2-3 of them were nurses and this and that, went back to school, were teaching school, doing different stuff. But it was just the idea of that year. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It was just different.
Yeah. So what have been some of your greatest joys in life?
Just always trying to be happy. And I've always had the motto of to treat people like I want to be treated. And I've just always been happy-go-lucky. It doesn't make me a difference. It can come on Sunday and come on Monday. Just fine if everything's okay.
Yeah. What about greatest challenges in life?
Hmm.
What have been some of your greatest challenges to get through in life?
Back to school and always trying to do what I can. It's one thing that I often think about now. The challenge that I try now is that like as I get older, and I look at some of the older people that, you know, have nobody to help them, and Bill and different one tell me all the time, why do you do that? Why would you do that? For the simple reason, I don't know what would happen to me with no children. Right. If I get older and I don't have anybody to help me, would somebody come to help me if I could get so I couldn't do for myself?
Yeah.
And that's what I think about for older people, especially if they don't have anybody to say about. And other than that, I just feel like take one day at a time. If it come today, it'll come. If it don't, it'll come tomorrow. And I just don't let it worry me. I try not to let nothing worry me. Because I hear a lot of people say when they go to bed at night, they don't sleep because they have this on their mind. When I go to bed, I won't go to sleep. I don't want to be bothered. But I don't think that if you, life is what you make of. It can be good, it can be bad. I don't have good days every day, but I try my best to think of positive every day. Today has got to be a good day. And I just go right along. Happy-go-lucky. I just try not to, I don't want to get up and I don't like the attitude of today, well, I don't want to do this, or I can't do this, and never say can't. I've always had that in my mind. Never say can't, say I'll try. But never said, I can't do that, or I can't. And I used to tell the kid, well, Miss Davis, I can't do this. Yes, you can. All you got to do is try. And if you can't do it then we'll say that we're going to work on it. But don't never say, I can't do it. And I used to get up every morning. Some mornings I get up. Now, I can't bend and stoop like I used to. But every day I think, and I say a prayer every morning. I thank the Lord for letting me get up and have a little bit of mind. I said, it's not like it used to be. But have a little bit of mind and be able to do for myself. And if somebody asks me to do something, that I'll be able to help them. Mm-hmm. And that's my everyday life.
That's great. So you said before that you would call yourself African-American, or that's how you identify?
They usually black.
Well, I was going to say, why do you prefer the term that you do?
They changed it. We just said black and keep on going.
Okay. And how do you think black is defined now versus like when you were growing up?
Well, it's altogether different. It's not such a big issue. It used to be an issue because even if you fill out an application and if you said black and they might say, well, what was your parents like? What was your grandparents like? And I know one time I filled out an application. I don't know what it was for. But anyway, they had on there about the color. Well, back then, my dad... mother looked like a little Indian because she had more white in than she did anything. And she looked like a little Indian. And just to think that when you look back at what the master did and the kids that they had, you know, with the blacks, and there wasn't anything they could do about it. And then you turn around, but yet instead you don't like me. Mm-hmm. And I had a problem with that for years. And I thought, how can you do this to me and then you mistreat me, but yet instead you went with my foreparent and had these kids, but you didn't like me, but you sold them off and did all this after you got these babies. And it was just something I never could understand growing up. And I said, how can you do this? How can you mistreat me? And you did this. And there she was working in the house, but you could fool with her, you know, get these babies, but you didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I just never did understand that for a long time. And I finally said, well, I guess that's just the way of life, and you either accept it or you couldn't reject it because you had nowhere to go. And when I would hear my grandmother talk, and she would say of how her mother did and what they had to do and all that stuff, and I thought, I don't know whether I could take that or not. And so she'd say, well, where would you do and where would you go? And then when I look at the underground, the film of the underground, mm-hmm. of Harriet, I wonder, and how she helped to free him by a patch in a window, and then on a wagon, and then if they tried to run away, if they didn't get to the river and lose the scent, and the dog would carry them back and all that stuff, and I couldn't understand it at first. And then I finally just worked out the film to see that how she helped them to escape and to get, you know, to get away from some of that. But I said, I don't know. I don't see how they survived. I really and truly don't. Because for what they had to do and the way they had to get away, and what is his name? His great-great-grandfather was one of the slaves that was freed, and his great-great-grandson, they do, when they first came here, his wife does homeschooling, but he drives the bus for... But anyway, it's an old port that was freed, and Harriet helped to free, and he's here, and they do the underground play every year during Black History Week at Bradley, and it's just altogether different. Mm-hmm. And I said, how can you do this? And she did all of this and risked her life of going underground to help them to free this, and then when I went to Memphis and saw the underground and different stuff, and it's just weird. Mm-hmm. But when the kids, when we show the film and the kids do the play, it's altogether different. But it brings back a lot of memory. And how did they do it? And how did they make it across? But those that were coming in the different cities and where the quilt was in the window, telling you which way to go, you know, as far as the state was concerned, which way was clear. But if you couldn't read or write, how did you know which way to go? Mm-hmm. But by this quilt, whatever it was, because we got the quilt at Bradley, how could you tell which one was in the window or which way you're supposed to go, state you're supposed to go to? But they always went to that place.
Yeah.
But I said, it was just life, I guess.
Yeah. How do you feel like, or do you feel like black-white relationships have changed since when you were
in younger? Some ways, in some way not, because the whole time I was in, like when I worked at Worth Bay, and now that, I guess, as far as the retirement and us going to lunch, I think I'm the only black in the bunch. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some that still live here and some that live just retired that was at Northfield when I was there, and they've joined the group. But right now it's 12 of us. Mm-hmm. And we go once to twice a month, and we go out to eat or go to a movie or go somewhere together. Mm-hmm. And it's altogether different. And cause Bill asked me sometime, he said, Martin, how do you feel going with them? I said, you know what? We all human beings. I said, we worked together for years. And I said, it doesn't bother me. And I got a one that's still over there. She's a MDA. But she goes, she called me 12, and she has to work 4 hours. And every year she sends me a Christmas card. Mm-hmm. But she got a family on it. Mm-hmm. And now she got a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law. The last Christmas, and I had it, and I got a scrapbook of all the school stuff that I keep up with. And Bill said, Mark, why she do that? I said, I don't know. I said, we were just friends. And so Bill saw her one day in the grocery store, and he was talking to her. He said, why do you still talk to Margaret and y'all don't work together? She said, you know what? When we sit down and we're talking, we be talking or doing stuff or grading papers or doing stuff. She said, we just talking. She said, we just became friends. And she said she always wanted to know about my kids. And she said, that's when I sent that picture of her family. And I do. And then it's one that, the one that lives in Tullahoma, she has cancer now. And she comes for treatments back over here. And I was doing school crossing out there at McFadden about 3 weeks ago. And she came through. She said, what are you doing when you get through? I said, what time will you be through at the doctor's office? So she called me, and we went to Farmers for lunch. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things. And I told Bill, I said, well, he said, well, mind you, mix up with anybody. But he's not an outgoing person. He have to kind of know you. And sometimes he said, sometimes you just embarrass me. You just talk to everybody. And I said, Bill, I said, you know what? If somebody talked to me and if I know them, I said, I talk back to him. He said, because tonight I was asking him, I said, Bill, you want to go with me tonight at the new business? He said, no, ma'am. He said, you be talking to everybody, and I be standing up there looking or sitting there looking. He said, I'm going to go with you. So Luella, a girlfriend named B, and I told her I had some tickets. I said, so you want to go? And she said, yeah. So we going tonight. It's about 5 of us. We going together. 5 or 6 of us. We going together, and we just going to have fun. And he'll stay at home. He said, I just can't go. He said, you just go everywhere, and you just talk to everybody. We went to Farmers third Sunday, because my birthday was 18th, that third Sunday, and we went to Farmers after church. It's like different one being there, and you see them, you hadn't seen them in a long time, they come over to the table, be talking. Bill said, you can't even go nowhere to eat without talking to folks. He said, I just want to see how you do it. But I have never been one that, you know, I've always just felt like life is life, it's just whatever you make of it.
Yeah.
And you either, it either good or it can be bad. He's just not an outgoing person.
Yeah.
He'll talk if he know you. Now, the day they had to show him, and he didn't know I didn't have my teeth. He didn't know I broke my plate. And he walked up beside me and said, where your teeth? I said, nobody has paid attention to it but you. He said, where your teeth? I said, I cracked my plate. And he said, oh, my God. And he went over and told Sean, he said, how y'all let her stay in here with no teeth? He said, I know. Sean said, well, I didn't pay any attention. He said, I did. He said, I knew it when I first came in. But But he faked it and everything. But he said, But he's not an outgoing person. And I just get up and go. Sometimes I tell him, I say, you don't want to go? He said, no. Because I asked him last night, I said, Billy, when he brought the other two tickets in, he said, Katie sent, gave me these two tickets. He said, but I don't want to go. He said, you be talking to folks and I be sitting down. I said, okay. I said, because I called B, her girlfriend, this morning. I asked her if she want to go. She asked me, what was it? And I told her, I said, she said, well, not really. I said, well, I got the ticket. We'll just go. I said, Luella's going to be over, gonna meet over your house, and I'll be over there to get. She said, okay. So we're just going together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just happy-go-lucky. You have to be happy.
Yeah,
you have to be an outgoing person.
So are you involved with any church community groups, organizations right now?
Well, let me see. That's ring bell, so I can't never stay at home. I've been in the ELS for 42 years. Lived in 72, 40 years. I've been church clerk since 83, which I'm ready to give that up. And I belong to the choir. And I'm on the hospitality thing at church. And I belong to the women ministry at church. And I belong to the women ministry of the state association. And we have this class thing that we go get together once a month for the ones that's here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the red hats.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have something once a month. And then we have a meeting in January, April, and August. And then we have activities. And then in December meeting, we usually exchange gifts or go somewhere. Last year, we went to Opryland after they reopened. And we toured the building, and we had lunch at one of the places we had reserved. But other than that, and then, because I said the next program I get into, I'm going to have to go back to the first Thursday, and if it's on Thursday, first Thursday and the fourth Thursday, because on the second Thursday, I go to this church service, and then on the fourth Thursday, I go to bingo. And it's just something. Now, I can make my week. I can plan my week out. And I just get up and go. Now, every Wednesday, I go to Bible study at 12 o'clock. So I know, don't get in the way, 12 o'clock. From 12 to 1 or 1:30, I'll be gone. Mm-hmm. And I'll make it back home in time enough to go to Crossing by 2:30, but quarter to 3. But other than that, and then I have temple meeting on the second and fourth Tuesday night. And it's just, I got it planned out.
That's
in
a
the
lot,
kitchen.
Yeah.
I didn't put your interview down before in the kitchen calendar. In the
I
kitchen.
Know you set me up.
And so this time I put it, I know, and I forgot it. And I said, I thought I put it in my little book. But I didn't. But I usually try to put all my appointments mm-hmm. on this big calendar in the mm-hmm. kitchen. So I wrote it down. And Bill said, Marjorie, what's this interview at 11 o'clock? And I told him yesterday, and he said, I see you got it down. And I said, Bill, I've got an appointment with Dr. Smith. It's next month. I said, but I have to find it. So yesterday I found my card, and I put it on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
It's next month. And I said, I have to put it on that calendar now, because see, I'm in the kitchen. And if that calendar's over there, if anything's on there, I put out half formers, I put out mm-hmm. everything that I've got to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I didn't
don't I forget it, because I can write in this book in my pocketbook.
Yeah.
But I might not open that book. But if I put it on that calendar, I won't forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't put it on the calendar. But I had it, so I made it. To the day I said, when I go to Walmart, I said, I'll cut back though. I went to the dentist, went to Walmart, and I said, I'll get over there for 11. So at first I couldn't find it. And then I said, I don't know where she could be. I said, but I stood her up last week, and as she stand me up today, I said, I'm going home. And Slim, he said, she was here. And then the lady that, you know, be over there to call bingo sometime, you know, she
yeah.
did the food.
I think so.
She said, Mari, she said, I think she's here. She said, did you look out there to say they had breakfast this morning? I said, no. I said, I didn't look out there. I said, but I didn't know where she was down on nothing. But the kids that's down there, well, they don't look like kids, look like young adults that's painting down there mm-hmm. in their room. Boy, they never looked up. They were so busy working. I said, boy, they are getting down.
Oh, in the teen room? Down
there.
They're painting a mural out here. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing some paint. They was ready. They were
paired
off.
Yeah, because I was supposed to be in there, but then...
Huh?
I think I was supposed to be in there, but then they were like, no, go to conference room C. But see, you were early, so I would have walked out to the front to meet you, but this is...
No, that's okay. I came on, so I wouldn't forget it today.
All right, well, I actually just have one more question for you.
Okay.
All right, so
What specific message would you want to tell to the youth in the community if you could?
Be the best that you can be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And always be yourself.
Yeah.
No matter what, just be the best that you can be.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's what I tell my nieces and nephews all the time. Be the best that you can be. Not what I want you to be, but what you can be.
I like that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, is there any other information you want to talk about that we haven't talked about
yet? Yeah, we haven't talked about everything.
All right. Well, so thank you again for participating. Please feel free to contact us if you have any questions or wish to add to your contribution. Yeah. But, that's all I have. Do you have anything else? Or
no, I'm fine.
All right. Cool.